What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, FightfulSelect.com, the Backstage Report podcast. Oh boy, we had another big one last week. Let's go ahead and talk about it. Johnny Gargano. Fightful learned that NXT Triple Crown champion Johnny Gargano's WWE contract is expiring December 3rd, 2021. WWE sources confirmed the news to Fightful Select last Monday afternoon. Thus far, WWE sources have indicated that Johnny and WWE have not entered into negotiations, but expected to, or that WWE expected to, rather, in the fall. It was specified to us this was not a case similar to Adam Cole and Pete Dunne, where the contract coming up came as a surprise, and that the company has reviewed many of the deals since those and the Malakai Black 30-day non-compete situation. It was also mentioned that roughly around the time Gargano's deal is up is when the company originally thought that Adam Cole's deal was up. Adam Cole has mentioned this, I believe, in the scrum. He thought that it was going to be up around December. That's when Johnny's is up as well. And the company had planned on speaking with them both ahead of that period prior to the shocker that Cole was coming due a lot earlier. Gargano's been with WWE since 2015, but signed in 2016, and we were able to learn a little bit more about Candice LeRae. She insisted on remaining on screen as long as she plausibly could while being pregnant. Therefore, her deal is not frozen. They're not freezing her contract because she is on screen, and she doesn't have to wrestle in order to fulfill the duties of her sports entertainment contract, so to speak. I was told it does expire sometime in 2022, but it is not coming up anytime soon as Johnny's is. So I don't know if that is even something they can legally freeze whenever she is not on screen anymore. But as of right now, she remains on screen. The clock is ticking. Her deal is up next year. Don't know when next year specifically. Obviously, there are a lot of moving parts here and things that that are going around, and they're both heavily featured on WWE programming still. They were in the main event segment of the first ever NXT new or 2.0. So it's not like WWE's taking them off TV in about 2.5 months before Johnny's deal is up. Now, Gargano is one of several NXT names that were offered new contracts in the fall of 2019 when NXT went to the USA Network. A WWE source said that there wasn't much incentive for top talent to re-sign for several years of the rates being offered, which were nowhere near the Raw and SmackDown deals being offered at the time. WWE went through a major restructuring period in that sense and re-signed dozens of wrestlers that year, which we'll have more on this week. But Gargano passed, Adam Cole passed, I believe Pete Dunne passed, but it wasn't just people who were top guys. There were a lot of people that were on the undercard that passed on it too. People who weren't even on TV passed on them because they didn't see the incentive in hanging around in that regard. Speaking of NXT 2.0, Fightful had learned last week that Frankie Monet, Raquel Gonzalez for the NXT title would be not taking place Tuesday as planned. We were not given a reason, but I can tell you guys that WWE knew it Monday morning. They knew it ahead of our interview with Frankie Monet, which we're going to talk about now. She said she was excited for that rebrand, even though she wasn't aware of exactly what was supposed to be happening. She said that the new name that she got was something that she wanted, and she really liked the idea of gender-neutral names and wanted to spell it different than Frankie with an IE. Since moving to NXT, she said that working live on TV more consistently has been an adjustment for her. Although there were discussions of her joining John Morrison, she wanted to stand on her own and not just be somebody's wife, and noted that the possibility was always there. She was not sure who pitched the dog vignettes, but admitted it wasn't her, and they picked that puppy because it was best behaved of the two that they had. Speaking of some sort of NXT news, we spoke to the former Aries Sterling, Alex Zane, about a lot of things. He said that immediately after his release, he called William Regal, who he had become close with, and Regal was either a great actor or did not know what was going to happen. And got the call from Johnny Ace, who was very polite. It was a very short phone call. But we actually asked him about the process of establishing WWE names as well. He referred to the process as hectic, but said that he knows a lot of people have it easier. When it became clear he was going to be on TV, they had him compile a list of preferred names. He sent it over. He was told they needed more names. And after Ari was determined, he tried to push through Zayn, but was told they couldn't do that. Not because of Sami Zayn, but because of Zayda Ramir had just debuted on television, and they said that it sounded too similar. The name Ari had came from Jeremy Piven's character from Entourage, Ari Gold, and Ari Sterling was a reference to that, as in Ari Silver. Sterling Silver, Ari Gold. You can kind of get the picture there. The actual name got cleared for use a couple of hours before his television debut. Another person who left NXT but did it last year was Killer Kelly. I spoke with her in Hoffman Estates, and she talked about her excitement of being in the States after being stuck out of the country for almost a year. Said that after opting to leave NXT, she felt shitty when the pandemic started because she had hoped to take the independent wrestling world by storm and was just kind of stuck. She noted Minoru Suzuki as somebody specifically she wanted to face. And we had reported earlier this year that there were plans on bringing Killer Kelly into Impact, as there was interest in her from the company. Now, as we had reported, there were issues with the embassy and things like that, but she was not at the weekend tapings. So we've heard that from talent that there's still interest in her, and it'd be hard to believe there wouldn't be. She's getting a great amount of buzz. Does great numbers when we write about her on the site, too, so there's some interest there. She is sort of an untapped resource globally. Some people know who she is. A lot of people don't. She's got a great look. She's got a great style. She's very personable. Check out that interview that we dropped with her on Sunday. Joey Janela does a run-in. It's like a quick 3-minute interview, but you know, I just wanted to get her on screen with me while she was in the States. I also got Nitro Girl Shay on screen with me. I got hit up about her ring-along system, which if you carry purses or bags or anything like that, she's got a nice system that she's working on there to make that a bit easier. But she said that she still keeps in touch with the Nitro Girls, and WWE has never reached out to her for work or to participate in any documentaries or anything. But she said that she still gets quarterly checks for Ready to Rumble, which are usually less than a dollar, but that the video game payoff for WCW Thunder in the 90s was enough for her to make a down payment on a car at the time. And that she joined SAG for Ready to Rumble, Screen Actors Guild, but her membership has since lapsed. Other notes that we broke from the week, Alex Shelley as the eighth Opera Cup member in MLW. Man, that was a big one. That tournament looks so good. It's got like Tom Lawler, Lee Moriarty, a lot of people like that in it. Man, it is a good looking field right there. Some NXT 2.0 notes. Kevin Dunn was at the show. LA Knight busted open hard way during the main event, was tended to during the match. Ivy Nile, who is Diamond Mine's newest recruit, is Emily Anzulis, who competed in MMA years ago. She appeared in a Raw Underground spot with Shayna Baszler last year. There was a timekeeper that encouraged chants throughout the broadcast, but that was normal of late, from what I understand. And there were a bunch of changes to the show over the 48 hours prior, obviously due to the Samoa Joe thing, but also Frankie and Raquel getting pulled. Well, Pete Dunne wasn't pulled, and he has re-signed with WWE. WWE confirmed that to me. I had heard that Pete Dunne signed a long-term contract with WWE. I'd heard a 3-year deal, which was said to have actually been personally offered by Triple H before he was sidelined. Dunn, along with Adam Cole, had a surprise contract expiration in July. But that's good. WWE holds on to a very young name that has worked better or worked to improve themselves physically. And, of course, he's always working to improve himself in the ring. But, I mean, good gosh, he's only 27 right now. He'll be 28 in a couple months. But his 3-year deal's up. He's 31. And you know what? He's probably got another decade of his prime left in him. So congrats to Pete Dunne. Congrats to WWE for the re-signing. That's a really, really good one for them. Very glad that we got some positive WWE news, because I feel like a lot of people, they would see me report, hey, this contract's coming up. And they wouldn't, or they would think, oh, he's only reporting negative WWE news. Hey, when there's positive stuff out there, let me know about it, peeps. I'll report that too. whatever keeps our subscribers happy and is honest work. I'm happy to report some spoiler news from Impact Wrestling. So if you do not want to hear it, go ahead, move off. But we reported a whole lot of stuff for this weekend's shows. Indie wrestlers, VSK, Masha Slamovic, and Jamie Senegal were all there at the tapings. Jake Clemens, former WWE referee who has returned to the indie circuit, is there, or was there. And Masha was offered a contract in the ring after her high-profile match against Deonna Purrazzo on the show. Don't know if she's agreed to terms. Don't know if she's going to do it. She worked the AEW Dark Elevation tapings last week against Hikaru Shida. Fightful also learned that Alex Zane, who we're dropping an interview with Tuesday, was there on the Sunday tapings. Heath Slater, now Heath Miller, or just Heath, returned at the Impact tapings this weekend. He had been out all year with an injury. He looked really jacked from what I understand, so that's good. But also AEW star Christopher Daniels was at the Nashville Impact tapings. One person present speculated he was there to wrestle, though that was not confirmed to us. He last wrestled in May, where he and Kazarian were forced to split after losing the AEW tag title match to the Bucks, and he hadn't appeared in Impact since 2014. Of course, Mercedes Martinez, Lady Frost, Renee Michelle were already announced. But in addition, El Fantasmo and Hikuleo were there. So Forbidden Door just swinging wide open back and forth for Impact Wrestling. Very good for them. Injury updates. MVP claims that he had surgery, is having surgery, something like that. As mentioned, Heath Slater has returned since he ripped his adductor at Bound for Glory 2020. He missed almost a year with that. Very unfortunate. Kota Ibushi is back in action after missing a couple of months. Great to see him back as well. Hiromu Takahashi has been back in action. We just hadn't updated the New Japan end of things, so glad to see him back too. He missed 6 months as they had predicted in New Japan, so they're running with a pretty healthy roster right now, which is really, really good because they needed it. I thought they lost a lot of buzz in 2020. A lot of the booking didn't make sense. And now it seems like they're working at either full strength or near full strength. There's actually no big contract news right now besides the Pete Dunne stuff, the Johnny Gargano stuff that we actually covered last week or earlier in this show even. But MLW did confirm that they signed Danny Limelight to a new deal. We reported that I think a month and a half ago, though. But keep it locked, Fightful.com. Thank you guys so much. We're going to keep bringing you as much news as we possibly can. Until next time, we're out.